Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, a naked man, was arrested after he fought with security guards at a drive-in movie theater.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I wasn't naked. I was wearing a mask.
You and I are old enough to actually know about drive-in movies, because you were there as a teenager. I was there with my parents driving as a little kid. But drive-ins were cool.
They're making a comeback.
Again, yeah.
I mean, they're making a comeback now. You go with your family. You don't involve yourself with other families.
That's
you stay
right.
in your car. They're actually making a pretty big comeback, drive-in movie theater.
That's right. Tony, isn't that Reginald Martinez Jackson over your right shoulder?
Indeed it is. Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Rule, baby.
One of my favorite people of all time.
Yeah.
Crazy old man in his own attic. This is day 103. In today's episode, the ACC plans to play. The Phillies shut down, and Lamar Jackson wants the Ravens to sign Antonio Brown. But we begin today with the NBA, which begins its restart tonight. The first two games are Utah against New Orleans, whose Zion Williamson is a game-time decision. And after that, the Lakers and the Clippers are the main event. Wilbon, do you believe the eventual champion is playing tonight?
Tony, I think so. I think I would be comfortable taking either of these two teams if I was a guy to go to Vegas and I was going to bet on this. I think I'd be comfortable taking either one of them to win against the rest of the field. But, Tony, they're not the only serious contenders. They're not the only people I can see.
Are you talking about New Orleans and Utah?
No, as you know, I'm talking Lakers, Clippers, of course. But I'm glad you asked that, Tone. But, Tony, Milwaukee is certainly a team that I could see winning it, even though I don't have Milwaukee coming out of the East. I have Toronto coming out of the East. So there's four teams automatically right there. Could I see the Boston Celtics winning it? Yes, with Mr. Tatum sort of growing up before our eyes and becoming a great player, not just a great young player. Yes, I could. I don't know that I see anybody out of the West except those two, the LA teams. But, man, Denver's becoming something. I don't know if they have enough time to become something fully in this sort of between now and October 12th, but they're a dark horse if I had to pick one. So, Tony, yeah, I think I see the winner coming out of tonight's second game of the doubleheader.
So I would bet on LeBron because I don't think you lose a lot of money betting on LeBron. I believe that the team that wins this is going to be led by a great player, and I emphasize the word led. And that eliminates some great players for me. LeBron is a leader of players as well as a great player. I think that's important. But I'm concerned in this regard, Mike. When the season stopped, right before the season stopped, I thought the Lakers had established themselves by beating the Clippers and beating Milwaukee, I think in successive games,
that
if I'm not mistaken.
That last weekend, I was there, yes.
Yeah, and I thought that that was a real big deal. They were on a 13-3 run at that point, and a bunch of teams that they had beaten, and I want to get this right, and I'm not going to get it right. Denver was one of them, Philadelphia, Boston, the Clippers, and Milwaukee. So they were all contenders. But, Mike, I think you have to throw that out because it's 4 months ago. I mean, I just don't think
it's
that
like
anything that happened
season.
Then. Yes, I don't know.
Okay, but let's get to the other side of the bracket, Tony, where there seems to be a lot of intrigue, maybe for the first time in a lot of years in terms of the Eastern Conference. Do you automatically have Milwaukee, which had had the best regular season by far in the East? You have them. You don't see anybody upsetting them.
Well, I think they're the best team. I would be surprised if the winner was somebody other than Milwaukee, the Clippers, or the Lakers. I would be surprised at that. I know you've included a lot of teams,
Toronto.
But I think you would be surprised at that, too. Oh, yeah, you want
to. Oh, no,
I
got Toronto coming out of the East.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins and I, maybe the only people outside of Canada who have Toronto come. I do, and I know I'm not trying to insult the Bucks. I'm not. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, who got my vote as the league's MVP. I'll just say that now. I know it'll upset you because I could see it being LeBron as well. But, yeah, Tony, I think it's more teams than usual that go into this setting having a chance to win in the NBA.
Okay, I don't want to belabor this point, but I do think it's important to say that you play all season to get home court advantage.
Yeah, now you
there
don't.
Is no home court no, advantage now.
None.
There are no fans. There is no home court advantage.
That's
so that's what is confusing to me.
Going to be different.
That part.
And I'm excited to see it, Tony. Let's move to college football. where the Southeastern Conference said today it hopes to play a 10-game conference schedule starting September 26. This follows the Atlantic Coast Conference's announcement that each of its schools hopes to play 10 conference games and one non-conference game over the span of 13 weeks starting September 12. And here's the kicker. Notre Dame, your fave, will be part of the conference, part of the ACC, and eligible for the ACC championship game. Do these moves seem reasonable under the circumstances, Tone?
I was a little surprised about Notre Dame because they always play USC and they often play Navy and they often play Stanford. They're a national team. I was surprised that they would, that they would fold right in. Does it make sense? Conference schedules make sense in this regard. Your travel is limited. You know where you're going. It's a tighter schedule. It makes all the sense in the world to me until a team gets, like the Miami Marlins, a coronavirus, you know, outbreak, and then they can't play. And because you know what's going to happen, Mike? These are college kids.
Yep.
There ain't no bubble for college kids. They're going to hang out with other college kids on and off campus, and they're going to be asymptomatic, and they're all going to get it, and all of these plans will go away at that point.
Tone, they don't even have to be asymptomatic. They, first of all, we're seeing a dynamic change here, shift to younger people having coronavirus and testing positive. And Tony, they're going to not just hang out. They're going to live together in the same dorms and apartments. Yeah. They're going to go to the same classrooms, presumably wherever they might go to class. So they're going to be with each other. I mean, very few schools now have football dorms, if you will, where football players are sequestered. I know my school doesn't have that. So, Tony, I agree with you on that. Notre Dame's an interesting case because Notre Dame has more travel. Because last I checked, Notre Dame, despite being part of the ACC, first nominally and now sort of full-fledged, is in Indiana. And so instead of being in the conference that it ought to be in, the Big Ten, having that travel dynamic of Bloomington, Evanston, Lansing, Ann Arbor, blah, 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 they've got this one where they're going up and down the Atlantic Coast Conference. It just, Notre Dame is a problem. Notre Dame seems to sort of be delusional on some fronts. Tony, I hope there's college football. I want there to be college football. I want kids to be safe first and foremost. I still, no matter how much planning there is, I don't see how this is going to take place.
From a strictly sports standpoint, it helps the ACC a lot to get Notre Dame. They're going to play Clemson. They could end up playing Clemson again in the conference championship. They could go to the playoffs and play Clemson. I mean, that is strength for that conference. But again, and I've said this before, Mike, these are college kids. If you want to use them as lab rats, pay them. They're not pros.
Agreed.
Pay them. Make them
totally
pros.
Agree.
And then you can use them. Dodgers reliever Joe Kelly suspended 8 games for his part in the near melee with the Astros the other night. No other player was suspended. In case you think that 8 games isn't a lot, in a 60-game season, it's the equivalent of 22 games out. Wilbon, is this too harsh?
No, it's probably not harsh enough. And I've done a flip-flop on this in 24 hours since I first heard about this. We were not on yesterday because baseball was on. But, Tony, Major League Baseball made clear before this abbreviated 60-game season started that it could not tolerate this. It could not tolerate anything that precipitated a brawl or a confrontation or a melee, whatever you want to have. Because you can't have people gathering on the field with spittle or droplets, as we like to now say in the last few months, going from face to face, mouth to face. You can't have it. And they said this. And this is premeditated activity on Kelly's part. So if they had suspended him for 20 games, middle reliever, I would have said fine. Because baseball made clear we can't have that. He's been a provocateur previously. He was certainly one in this case, Tony. And zero tolerance should be the policy. And I back baseball. It should have been stronger. Should have been longer suspension.
Well, I think it is harsh. But as you think, it is not too harsh. Baseball is saying two things very clearly. One, we've already disciplined the Astros. You can't take this into your own hands now and start throwing at the Astros. We're not going to have that. And two, we can't have bench-clearing brawls. We're not going to have that. So now we've established a minimum of 8 games. The next guy who does this, it's going to go higher than 8. I believe that. You and I were wrong. We thought nothing was happening. When I saw the clip of this with Joe Kelly, on a 3-0 count,
wow.
I believe, to Bregman,
yeah.
right? And then pitches to Correa, many of which could have hit Correa, and being mouthy about it, and the fact that nobody went out to the mound and nobody said rein this in, and that's why Dave Roberts got a game, because baseball said you condone this. This is ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
I was totally wrong about the Dodgers just sort of getting involved with this sort of thing when their focus ought to be on one thing. How do we win as many games as we possibly can? So I don't know what they were thinking. You wonder what was discussed in the clubhouse beforehand, Tony. Whatever they give the next person, fine. And by the way, if the Dodgers are involved in any more of this, throw the book at them, as they used to say. Do it.
Dodgers won the games, though.
They did.
To give them credit, they are winning games. Yeah. Let's take a break. Coming up, if Lamar Jackson wants Antonio Brown, should the Ravens sign him?
And later, the Phillies appear to have a coronavirus situation of their own.
Mike, I think that college football will end up being played in the spring.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. They need to have the revenue from a college football season whenever it's played.
That's fine. I just don't think they can go straight.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Disney Plus and the new visual album, Black is King. Streaming tomorrow, only on Disney Plus.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One more headline, and it involves Lamar Jackson wanting the Ravens to sign Antonio Brown. Jackson worked out with Brown in April and says, quote, "There's no quitting him. That's the type of guy we need in our locker room," unquote. The NFL is reportedly investigating sexual assault and misconduct allegations against Brown, who may face a suspension. Mike, if the MVP wants Antonio Brown, should the Ravens make it happen?
Hell no, they shouldn't make it happen. No, this is what players do. Players do this. And when you talk to ex-players, they'll admit that when they were players, they do this too. Y'all want to play with that guy because he's got all the talent, and talent makes all the difference, and it doesn't. Because if talent made all the difference, the New England Patriots wouldn't have 6 Super Bowls in the last 20 years or whatever it is. So it's not talent that makes all the difference. And I would say, I would call, if I was Baltimore's hierarchy, I would get together and I'd call Lamar in and I would say, listen, if Mike Tomlin and Bill Belichick couldn't make this work, it doesn't matter what Tom Brady or some other guys who are players want. This guy is radioactive. We're not going to have him. You can throw as many routes as you want in the offseason because route running isn't his problem. Fitting into a team and fitting into a locker room is his problem. And you saying that's the kind of guy we need here is wrong. It's inaccurate. We're not getting them. Sayonara.
So I think that Lamar Jackson, by going public with this, has put both the owner, Steve Bisciotti, and the coach, John Harbaugh, in a difficult situation. Because if they do what you say they should do, and bear in mind that Antonio Brown's cousin, Hollywood Brown, is one of the better wide receivers, that's on that team. So if you slap Lamar Jackson's wrist and say no, maybe he gets angry at that, and maybe he feels you've treated him badly. Maybe Hollywood Brown gets angry, and maybe he says, I don't know that I want to stay here. So I think it's a difficult situation, and I think what makes it harder, and this is going to take a little bit of time, Antonio Brown is at the moment alleged by two different women, one his trainer and one his painter, to have committed sexual assaults against them. The NFL hasn't had to deal with this because he's not in the NFL.
They haven't finished an investigation, whatever that is. They haven't completed one.
Right. So you don't know if he's available or he's not available at this time. If I and what further complicates this, Mike, is Baltimore is the city of Ray Rice.
Yeah.
And so the whatever tolerance level is out there in any other city, it assumes to be less in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So by bringing this up, and he's the MVP, he's a great player. By bringing this up publicly, it causes, I think, friction for everybody else.
Tony, you can start there if you want. If you're Baltimore, you can sit Lamar Jackson down and explain it that way. You can start with just how toxic he's been in locker rooms. And you can say he walked out on teams. You say he's the kind of guy you need.
Yes.
He doesn't quit on you. Yeah, he does, Lamar. He quits on you. So forget slap on the wrist. This is where football has an advantage over all the other sports, Tony. Because football says, they can say, and they do regularly, no, we are not listening to you. We are not having him. And no, that's the end of that topic, essentially. Because you and Hollywood Brown, you're going to give us what you and Antonio Brown would have given us. Start playing. And that's that. He has been awful for multiple situations. How much more would a team want?
Let's take one last break. Still to come, how badly are the Chiefs hurt by Damian Williams' opt-out?
And should the Brew Crew be concerned about Christian Yelich's slow start?
That went quickly. Yeah, that was a quick second.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 57th birthday, Chris Mullen.
Mully!
A Brooklyn kid, Mullen stayed home in New York City for college and went to St. John's, where in 1985 he led the school to the Final Four and was named College Player of the Year. It is impossible to think of Mullen at St. John's and not think of Patrick Ewing at Georgetown at the same time. Mullen was a three-time Player of the Year in the Big East and twice shared that honor with Ewing. Mullen played 16 seasons in the NBA, the best 12 of them in Golden State, where he was part of the Run TMC crew, Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullen. He averaged 20.1 points a game there, was All-NBA four times, and was elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2011. Perhaps the greatest compliment ever paid Mullen was that he was selected to play on the original Dream Team in Barcelona in 1992. The finest basketball team ever assembled. That was his second gold medal. He was on the 1984 team in Los Angeles. Mullen tried his hand at coaching his alma mater, but resigned in April of 2019 after mediocre results.
Tony, you talk about all those honors, and yet to me, Chris Mullen was still undervalued, underrated. When people talk about the great shooters of all time, they leave out Chris Mullen. Don't leave him out. If he came along now, he'd be shooting threes. He'd be, you know what? He'd be very much like Klay Thompson. I mean, he was a great player, and guys like Ewing and Mullen, I mean, Ewing and Jordan loved Chris Mullen. Tony, Larry Bird got stingy with his playing time in the finals that year. He only played in 9 of 23 playoff games, and they wound up losing to the Lakers. Bird didn't play him. That left a bad taste in my mouth. I love Chris Mullen.
Happy anniversary, Sidney Crosby. On this day 15 years ago, the Pittsburgh Penguins selected Sid the Kid number one overall in the NHL draft. The man who chose him, Mario Lemieux, was himself the number one draft pick in 1984. Were there ever any better picks? Lemieux won two Stanley Cups and saved the franchise from bankruptcy. Crosby has won three Stanley Cups and two Olympic gold medals, including scoring the gold medal winning goal against the United States in 2010 in Vancouver, the golden goal. Lemieux and Crosby were so close that Crosby lived with the Lemieux family for 5 years, from 2005 to 2010, and the four Lemieux children treat Crosby like a sibling. They even played together in Crosby's rookie year for 26 games until Lemieux was forced to retire with an irregular heartbeat. Unless Michael Jordan somehow trades for Zion Williamson and wins a bunch of titles, Lemieux and Crosby have to be the greatest owner-player combination ever.
I wanted to find some combination to dispute you. I can't. I love Lemieux. Crosby, for some completely unnecessary reason, I never warmed to, but indisputable how great they both were and are.
A melancholy trails to Lou Henson, the winningest basketball coach at both Illinois and New Mexico State, and the man who coached each of them to the Final Four 19 years apart, died at 88 years old. Henson retired in 2005 with a record of 779-413. At that time, he had more D1 wins than all but five coaches. He had 423 wins at Illinois, 289 at New Mexico State, which was his alma mater. The team Henson inherited at New Mexico State in 1966 had gone 4-22. In his first year, Henson won 15-11 and made the NCAAs. A few years later, in 1970, he made the Final Four. Henson likewise rebuilt Illinois. He took over a team that had finished last in the Big Ten two straight years. In Henson's 21 seasons, Illinois went to the NCAAs 12 times. In his later years at Illinois, people made fun of his hair, calling it the Lou Do. But the basketball courts at both Illinois and New Mexico State are named for Lou Henson.
Tony, you know, people used to sort of damn him with faint praise and say he was a great recruiter, as if he couldn't be a good strategist. He was both. That Illinois team went to the Final Four. Kenny Battle, Marcus Liberty, Nick Anderson, Steve Bardo, and Kendall Gill. Bardo calls a lot of Big Ten games and college games for this network, among others. And Kendall Gill calls the Bulls games. I see those two guys all the time and become buddies in Chicago. Buddy's a Northwestern guy with two Illini dudes. I don't know. Tells you how that team was great. And Lou Henson, Tone, he really was a terrific coach.
Let's go to the big finish. The Phillies shut down activities until further notice after a coach and clubhouse attendant tested positive. Your thoughts?
Tony, I'm still hopeful about baseball. It just seems like they're just moving along the edge right now. Blue Jays, Phillies this weekend, both postponed. You hope this clears up soon. Chiefs running back Damian Williams has opted out. Big deal.
He had the last two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. A lot of people thought he should have been the MVP. I think that's a big deal. Sabrina Ionescu put up 33-7-7 in a Liberty loss. Is that significant?
Yeah, Tony. I'm sort of following her nightly line. She had a rough opener, but she's going to be great. She's great right off the bat. She's one of those players who is. Eric Bledsoe and Pat Connaughton are out for the Bucks opener against the Celtics tomorrow. Is that a big deal?
I think it's a big deal in that game because they're key players. I don't think these first eight games are big deals because, again, you're playing for home court advantage and there's no home court. Last one, Christian Yelich has started the season 1-27 with 12 strikeouts. Is that cause for concern?
Yeah, Tony's 0-4 his last 18. The Brewers don't play tonight. I know it's a short season. I think Yelich will pull out of it in a big way.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Malin's Bakery, South Jersey.